Hello and welcome to our midweek Bible study. We've been studying the life of Rehoboam, the king of Israel, over the last 4 weeks. This is lesson four in the study, which we've called Pitfalls. And in our first 3 weeks, we looked at the pitfalls of heritage over relationship. That was the first week in which Rehoboam, who was the son of Solomon and the grandson of King David, was of the right royal family, but instead of he relied upon his heritage and who he was rather than his relationship with God, and that was an error on his behalf. And then in week two, we looked at the pitfall of the council of friends over the wisdom of elders. Rehoboam went and spoke to his parents, his father's rather, advisors, the old men of wisdom, when a matter arose in Israel, and they told him to release the lighten the load, as it were, on the people, and that they would serve him. But Rehoboam didn't like that advice, so he went and spoke to his friends, and unfortunately he followed the advice of his friends instead of the wise elders, and it caused Israel to split into two nations. So that's a pitfall he had to avoid, who he would let speak into his life, and we need to be careful of that as well. Whose advice are we listening to? And then last week, the pitfall number three was self-confidence over God confidence. And Rehoboam started out okay. In 2 Chronicles 11:17, it said that he walked in the ways of David and Solomon for 3 years. So when he was first made king, he wanted to do things properly, and he followed the example of his father and his grandfather for 3 years. But unfortunately, once he strengthened himself, once his kingdom was established, the very first verse of the next chapter, chapter 12 of 2 Chronicles, says that he forsook the law of the Lord and all Israel followed after him. So his pitfall was that he relied upon his own ability. He didn't understand that his need for God in ruling the kingdom of Israel. He started out well by following the example of his father and grandfather, but once his kingdom was established, he thought he didn't need to have God's assistance anymore. And unfortunately, God had to use the king of Egypt, whose name was Shishak, to humble him so he would turn back to him. But Rehoboam never actually did turn back, and his kingdom was suffered because of it. Anyway, this week is number four. I said the last lesson in this series, and it's called Altered Worship Over Altar Worship. And we know that Rehoboam's grandfather David was a man after God's own heart. That's what the Bible calls him. That's what God called him. And he made some mistakes, but his heart was always to serve God and to do what the Lord wanted him to. And when he was confronted with his wickedness and sin, he repented of that and turned from that and recommitted himself to God. And of course, his father Solomon was also a godly man to begin with anyway. And King David, his grandfather, he wrote many of the Psalms. If you look at the book of Psalms, you see there's 150 Psalms recorded in that book. And King David is specifically mentioned as being the author of 73 of them. And then in the New Testament, two further Psalms attributed to David. So that's 75, or half the Psalms as recorded, were penned by King David because he was such a worshipper. His desire was to worship God and to please him and to have a relationship with God. And his son Solomon, he started out very well. When he was made king, God appeared to him in a vision and said, "What do you want, Solomon?" And Solomon said, I'm not able to rule this kingdom on my own. I need your help. Please help me to rule the kingdom. Give me the wisdom and the understanding that I need to be a good king of Israel." And God was pleased with that. And he understood his need for the counsel of God and the Spirit of God and the leading of God and the ways of God to be a good king. Unfortunately, later in life, he had many wives and concubines, and most of those were done for political alliances and for treaties between nations. And there's that very sad scripture, it says that his wives turned his heart away from God. And to me, it's not really a surprise that Rehoboam didn't have a full appreciation of his need to worship God. His grandfather was a tremendous example, but his father began well and fell away from that, as it were. And that's not uncommon. It's often said that God has children, not grandchildren. It's not by our heritage, it's not by our parents' relationship with God that we have a relationship. Every generation has to establish its own relationship with God. And it's not unusual to see each generation becoming less committed if they don't establish themselves into a strong foundation with God from the beginning and follow that all the days of their lives. Seek God for themselves. Well, as I said, David penned a lot of the Psalms. He was a man after God's own heart. His heart yearned for a relationship with God. And he sought to give all the glory to God in every way that he could. And Solomon, his heart was dedicated to worship as well as asking God for help to rule the kingdom. He also built the temple. David wanted to build the temple to dedicate it to God, but he wasn't able to because he was a man of war. So Solomon built that temple, the magnificent temple where God was worshipped. And as I said, Rehoboam also started out well, as his father did. As I mentioned, he did serve God for 3 years until his kingdom was established. Then he turned away from that. And so let's read the scripture today. Let's read 1 Kings chapter 14 and verse 21. The scripture says, "And Rehoboam the son of Solomon reigned in Judah. Rehoboam was 41 years old when he became king. He reigned 17 years in Jerusalem, the city which the Lord had chosen out of all the tribes of Israel to put his name there. His mother's name was Naamah, an Ammonitess. Now Judah did evil in the sight of the Lord, and they provoked him to jealousy with their sins which they committed, more than all that their fathers had done. For they also built for themselves high places, sacred pillars and wooden images on every high hill and under every green tree. And there were also perverted persons in the land. They did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." These are sad scriptures. When Israel originally came out of Egypt, when God led them out of captivity and bondage into the promised land, he drove out the nations before them and he said, "Don't do the practices of these nations. They put their children in the fire. They do wicked things." And God drove them out and told them to not follow after them. And here, many years later, we see that Israel began to do according to the abominations of those nations. They began to do the same things that those nations had done before Israel took that land. It says that they built high places and Asherah poles. Asherah was a pagan mother goddess, a goddess of fertility. And so they were made like these worship poles. They were figurines of some kind of wooden figures. And but really, it's not the figures so much that were wicked, which they were. It was what they represented, and it was what was in the hearts of the people who built them. Really, these Asherah poles were a manifestation of the wickedness that had come into the hearts of Israel. And this began, as I said, when after 3 years Rehoboam turned his heart from God and all Israel followed him. The leader turned and all the others followed. And as we are leaders in our family our household, it's important that we set a good example, that we show by our example and by what we do and say the right way to serve and to worship. Because each generation has to find God for themselves, and if we don't lead and show the way, it's much more hard for them to do that. So anyway, as Rehoboam's idolatry may have started in his heart, but it soon became an outward expression. Because he wasn't conscious enough of his need to worship God and how important that was for him to maintain his kingdom. What began as constructions in these high places, what began as these Asherah poles, quickly eroded into altars under every high hill, and on every high hill, and under every green tree. And from there, this led to unrighteous actions. Once they started worshipping the wrong thing, once they put constructed idols, that affected their behavior, and that affected what they thought was important, and it affected their morals, and now they became perverted persons. Now they started doing the abominations that they knew that God had despised of the nations that lived there before. And the floodgates of iniquity opened, and the people began to act according to these abominations. And the nation of Judah discovered far too late that when you abandon God's altar and create your own version of worship, that there are negative consequences. Altered worship leads to places you never intended to go, and faster than you ever could have imagined. Because what's in someone's heart will inevitably manifest itself on the outside and become visible to everyone. It starts in our heart, and it's our heart that we have to guard. That's why the scripture tells us to guard our heart. Watch what we're putting into our hearts and minds so that we can guard our heart. Because once this turn to worship an idol gets in our heart, inevitably it will manifest itself on the outside. We might not erect actual statues like the nation of Israel did in Rehoboam's day, but we can still erect idols in our life and in our heart. Anything that we put before God is really an idol. Anything that is more important than our worship of God actually is what we are worshipping. And praise and worship are not the same, obviously. We often talk about praise and worship as part of our services in church. And sometimes it seems like praise means fast songs and worship means slow songs, but that's not the case at all. Praise means praising God for his goodness, and we praise other people as well when they've done something good, and that's right and honourable. But worship involves a sacrifice. Worship is more than just singing praises or telling someone you love them. Worship is actually altering your behaviour because of your love for them. And something far deeper. Something must be sacrificed in order for it truly to be worship. We worship God when he's our Lord. And our Lord, that another word for that is owner. When we acknowledge him as our owner, when we put him first in everything, then we are truly worshiping him. If we put anything else before that worship as more important, then that really is our object of worship. That really is an idol unto us. We need to place Jesus in a position of lordship over our lives. Because once we belong to Jesus, once we're born again of the water and the Spirit, he owns us. He purchased us with his own blood. We are bought with a price. We are not our own anymore. We acknowledge him as our owner, as it were. We become slaves or servants of righteousness, no longer slaves of sin. That means we no longer are Lord of our lives or our own desires, but rather we seek righteousness and we seek to do what's right and in God's will in every situation and every purpose. That means things like being led of the Spirit. It's important that we receive the Holy Spirit, that we're born again of the water and the Spirit. But we need to not just receive the Spirit, we need to be led of the Spirit. We need to let the fruit of the Spirit be developed and displayed in our life. And of course, the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness and temperance or self-control. These are not natural attributes, but these are the things that the Spirit of God will develop in us if we allow the Spirit to have full reign in us. In fact, God's word should be the filter, really, through that changes everything about us. It should be the what we pass through and comply with in all of our words and our thoughts, our actions and our behaviour, our attitudes, our boundaries, our principles, what we accept and what we don't accept should all be filtered through God's word and God's will. Because it's the most important thing is to that we worship is our Lord and Saviour. And if we have a different filter, if we have a different priority, we are worshipping that and it's become an idol unto us. And worshipping an idol will cause our destruction as it did to Rehoboam. We are to worship God with all that we have. The scripture says that we shall seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things shall be added unto us. What things? Well, all the good things that God has promised us. We are to put him first in our lives. That means first in our time, first in our talent, first in our treasure, because we cannot worship without there being a sacrifice. And yes, it's a sacrifice to give our time to the things of God, whether that's teaching a Bible study or doing a good deed or coming to church or attending a Bible study. We seek first the kingdom of God, so we put him first in our time allocation. And of course, our talent, we all have talents that God has given us, and he's given them to us to use in his kingdom. So that should be the most important priority in the use of our talent, is what benefits the kingdom of God, what will bring about increase in the kingdom of God and will bring about increase in the talents that he's given us. And of course, our treasure. We are blessed to be a blessing, our pastor often says. And one of our teachers at our recent ministers retreat said that if you live with an open hand, God will never allow it to be empty. God blesses us to be a blessing to others. He owns everything that we have. He owns our time, he owns our talent, and he owns our treasure as well. So we should need to put him first. He should be the first that we give to with our treasure. In fact, the easiest thing to say is we should just seek him with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. That we should give all that we have to our God, because he is worthy of our worship. Rehoboam found that turning from God meant idols appeared in his land, and the whole of Israel, including him, began to worship these pagan gods. That was the destruction of his kingdom. He reigned for 17 years, but it was always a time of turmoil and problems and invasion by surrounding people and tribute, having to pay tribute to other nations and displeasure of God. God had to send people to humble Rehoboam and to try and call him back to him. He brought persecution and problems to the nation of Israel in it to bring him back and Rehoboam back into the worship of God. And Rehoboam's heart had become hardened by this time. That's what happens once you allow another idol to get into your heart. We need to put away the things that we are putting in a position that are more important to God, and we need to give him our full attention and full worship and our full sacrifice. This series of lessons has been looking at a man in history, Rehoboam. But the lessons we learn from it, we can apply to our individual lives here in 2022. We need to make sure that we have a relationship with God. It's not our heritage. It's not anything our family has done. It's not our background or our education or anything that's important. Our relationship with God is important above all. We need to establish that relationship and allow our spiritual disciplines to strengthen that relationship and to grow in our knowledge and understanding of God and our relationship with him. We also need to look at the counsel that we are listening to. Who are we allowing to speak into our lives? Is it the pastor and the men of God, or is it our friends and what they think? Who you listen to will affect your behavior and will affect your worship. So let's avoid the pitfall of the counsel of friends and listen instead to the counsel of wisdom. And we also need to have a confidence in our God. Our God can do anything. Without him, we can't do anything. But through him, we can do all things in Christ who strengthens us. And lastly, we need to not have an idol. We need to put nothing before him. We should have an altar of worship in our heart and not altered worship. And we don't just want to come to this place and sing songs of praise and sing songs of love and sing songs of adoration. We want, by our lifestyle and by our actions and by our thoughts and by our deeds and by everything we do, we need to worship God. We need to sacrifice our time and our talent and our treasure. We need to put him first and foremost in everything that we do. Then we'll avoid the pitfalls that Rehoboam saw and the destruction that came upon Israel. We will instead see the blessing and hand of God upon us. And we will instead see growth and joy and peace. We're so thankful that we know our God. We're so thankful that he called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And as we serve him and as we worship him, let our spiritual life, let our determination be to draw us closer and closer unto him. We're going to pray now to end this this Bible study. And I pray that you've got a determination to put God first in your life and worship him above all. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the warnings that are in your word, and that we look at Rehoboam and see common problems that we face today. Help us, Lord God, to put you first in everything, to worship you with all our heart, soul, mind and strength, to seek you first and your kingdom and your righteousness, O God. Lord, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Help us, O God, to be pleasing to you. Lord, strengthen us, Lord God. Let your spirit reign in us. Lead us, Lord God, into righteousness, we pray. And we're so thankful to know you, Lord God. We're so thankful, Lord, to be, Lord, part of your family and one of your children. Lord, we want to put you first in everything, and we just ask that you would help us to do that. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.